I was here 8 years ago, and my wife and I stayed over here in the parsonage for a little while and spoke here a couple of times while we were here. So some of you know me from different backgrounds. I have my pastor over here from years gone by. Pastor Hauber was my pastor when I was, how high did you say this morning? Yeah, about right there. Maybe a little, I don't remember being that small, but he does. But then I have others, Scott and Donna, we served together for a while and good friends for quite some time now. And others, the Mars, wherever Harriet is, probably in the nursery knowing her. I grew up with Gary and that whole crew, so for some of you, known you for a while. Others of you just met you this morning. Fantastic. Family of God, right? But one way or another, forget the titles. The most important thing is being a child of God. So let's turn this morning to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Thank you for that special, ladies. That was great. Luke 24. Let's go to the account of the resurrection. At least Luke's account of the resurrection. Luke 24, we'll just read the first few verses. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. This morning, I think of the term, the statement, what if Christ had not risen? What if Christ had not risen? Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you that you have risen. Thank you that we have that hope. Lord, I pray that you give me the words to speak this morning. Help me share the things that you would have and not get in the way of that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see the story of the resurrection here, but I kind of sometimes just put myself in the shoes of those who were there. You imagine these ladies coming to the tomb as if losing your best friend, your loved one, in a sense, as if that wasn't enough, heading to the tomb, at least five ladies in this company, we see later in the book of, later in this chapter, coming to the tomb, maybe I would be maybe one of the analytical ones. Now, we saw the stone, we were there when he was put in there, we saw this stone rolled in front of the tomb, five ladies, okay. I don't know, maybe they're a buffer. I don't know. I would be kind of concerned. They sealed the stone in front of the tomb. How are we going to move this thing? We have all the spices. We have everything set to go. How are we going to get to the body? Well, they kept going. Then we get to the tomb, and the next thing we see is the stone rolled away. Now, wait a minute. The problem we thought we had isn't a problem anymore, or is it? We find the stone rolled away. If that is enough, we walk in. There's no body there. I've got all these spices ready. We had our mindset, okay, this is what I've got to do today. Go in, and there's no body to prepare. As if that wasn't enough, you have the uncertainty of what am I going to do? Then we have two angels show up out of nowhere. Have you ever had an encounter with an angel? I haven't. If you have, You can share that with Pastor Hover over here and let him know. But I haven't had an encounter with an angel, and I can't even fathom being there and being all distraught and confused, having an angel stand up in front of me, asking me what I'm doing here. What do you think I'm doing here? I'm preparing the body. And to think of the despair this probably brought, as the ladies you see in other accounts, that Mary was seeking for the body of Jesus and asked the gardener, who she thought was the gardener, where he might have laid the body. There was the despair that took place, I would think. But you know, to them, their temporary despair is our eternal hope. I thought about that. To us, the empty tomb means hope. To them, the empty tomb, the immediate, what their thoughts must have been, the rushing of their thoughts. But what did the angel say? Remember the words. Remember the words that Jesus spoke. He already told you this was going to happen. John chapter 2. Only a couple pages over. John chapter 2. Verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Down in verse 22. When, therefore, he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Here we see in John where Jesus foretells his rising from the dead. We go to Luke that we just read, and the angel brings that back to their remembrance. Jesus already told you this was what was going to happen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look there for a few minutes. What if Jesus had not risen? What if he hadn't risen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's start in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. The things that we would do, what purpose would they have? Our preaching is in vain. So every sermon would be worthless. If Christ hadn't risen, every sermon would be worthless. All time in preparation for a sermon would be futile. It would be a waste of energy. It takes hours each week to be prepared. To Pastor Josh, it takes him hours each week, I'm sure, as he prepares to share God's word. If Christ had not risen, it'd be worthless. He'd be wasting his time, wasting his energy. Your listening would be a waste. It would be in vain. There wouldn't be any hope. Any cost that Pastor Josh may have incurred to get his education, that is not cheap. It's not cheap to go to Bible college. It's not cheap for mom and dad, for their part either. It's not cheap to go to China. But if Christ hadn't risen, it'd all been worthless. We would have been wasting money. We would have been wasting time and energy devoted to that if Christ had not risen. We know that he did. Thank you, Lord, that you did. All this would be futile. It would be a waste. All preaching would be in vain. All preaching of the past would have been worthless, would have been vain. You think of the apostles, the time that they spent, the Apostle Paul writing all these epistles, all that time traveling around, that would have been in vain. That would have been worthless. His life, all the journeys he went on and the dangers that he had, worthless. The Apostle Peter, the preaching that he would give, that would have been worthless, all those lives. But it wasn't, because Christ was risen. What about the early church martyrs that gave up their lives at great cost. What about the giants, we would consider giants of the faith, the D.L. Moody's, the early missionaries, the David Brainerds, the five missionaries that went to the Aka Indians and were martyred there. John Bunyan, I think of him. I teach school over at Faith Bible, and one of the books that children are supposed to read is Pilgrim's Progress. My son's in that book right now, Little Pilgrim's Progress. So I know they have to read them. And he tells me about it every day. Dad, gotta get that literature done today. But his life in prison for serving Christ would have been in vain. David Livingston, who spent years and years in Africa, his life would have been in vain. You think this morning, the songs that we sang, "He Arose Because He Lives," those songs would have absolutely no meaning. No meaning at all. What about the song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? If I didn't have a God, if I didn't have that comfort, if I didn't have that hope, it would not be well with my soul. If there wasn't a resurrection, to be honest, we wouldn't be here today. There would be no reason to be here today. If we didn't have a Savior who was alive, why? You think of other religions, there aren't any other religions whose religious leader died and rose again. Who is alive today? We serve a risen Savior, not a dead one, a risen Savior. You think of all that surrounds Easter. I think we've Resurrection Sunday. I think we've cheapened Resurrection Sunday. My wife and I have been trying to figure out what to do with the whole candy and all that. The Easter basket stuff, and we're going to relatives later, and they're going to have an Easter egg hunt, which is a fun thing for the kids to do. But how do you have the fun of Resurrection Sunday and family and still bring that message to your children? Spoke to a man just this week in the hospital. And spoke to him about, well, in the course of talking, he was never short on talking. He loves company, and we spent an hour. I don't know if we did 5 minutes worth of the talking, but that was great. He was telling us about how they did some things with remembering Resurrection Sunday. And my wife mistakenly said, "Have a good Easter. I hope you're home by Easter." And then we right back into the conversation. He doesn't celebrate Easter. Of course, we don't either, but, you know, slip of the tongue, and let's throw that out there. And we cheapen the day, worried about new clothes, like that's what it's about. Sure, maybe at some of the stores, they certainly love you to buy your new clothes for your Sunday Easter outfits. That's not what it's about. They sell all kinds of candy, and my being a teacher of elementary age students, very grateful of the candy sales right now, because we'll go to the store this week and we'll get them at half price, 75% off, and the kids will really enjoy their time coming back to school after this break. Because they'll know Mr. Taylor's got some incentives in his desk. So I will hear much begging for candy because they know it's there. Maybe. My kids haven't gotten to it first. We think of the lunch and this afternoon if you have a special lunch. Do we worry more about the fixings and the meal and who's going to sit where? Who's going to do what? Do we worry more about that than thinking about the reason for the Resurrection Sunday? All of our faith, if Christ had not risen, all of our faith would be in vain. Think of Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippian jailer. What does he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If Christ had not risen, he would not have kept his word. If he would not have kept his word, he wouldn't be worthy of being our Savior. Because our Savior does not lie. This faith brings peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's turn there quick or slow. Your choice. I'm there. I'll start reading. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he's proven that he is the Prince of Peace. He's proven that he is worthy of our faith. We can come to him because he brings peace. We can accept this gift of grace as well. Think of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Probably many of you can quote it. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we have done. Faith. We have power in prayer because of this faith, don't we? Our prayers aren't in vain. If we have a God who can raise from the dead, if our Savior can raise from the dead, don't you suppose he could answer our prayers? He wants us to bring our requests before him. If we have a God who is great enough to create all of what we see, if we have a God who is great enough to come to this earth and humble himself, who is gracious enough and humble enough to die on a cross and be beaten and torn apart by the very creatures he created, if we have a God who is willing to go to the grave and was powerful enough to be raised, don't you figure that he would want us to pray to him? That he loved us that much? That, oh, that's okay. You don't have to have a relationship with me? I don't think that's what he would say. If he cared enough to give us all of that, I think there should be a desire on his part to have a relationship. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's in control. He's in control. Faith brings peace of mind. Philippians 4 tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalm chapter 27 tells us, David writes, whom shall I fear? All because we have a hope. All because we have a hope. I think about all because we have a hope. Let's look at verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We have a hope, do we not? Like I said, my wife and I went to the hospital on Friday, visited this man. He had cancer, diagnosed with cancer in 2001, and has basically his entire body is riddled with cancer. To the point where it's beginning now to affect his organs, and some of his organs are beginning to shut down. 53 years old, has four children, ladies. Two of the young ladies are in my class, actually. And you would not know that he was suffering with cancer by talking to him. He has a hope. He has a hope. I should hope that if I were in his, I'd say shoes, but in his hospital bed, I would have the same hope that he does, the same assurance, peace. Not assurance is a bad word for it. The same peace that he does. Actually, some of you who know us a little bit better would remember a couple of years ago, we did go through some similar circumstances. I was diagnosed in 2001 with a brain tumor and had to go through some tests and biopsy back in 2001. We traveled out to Delavan, out in western part of New York, when we moved about 8 years ago. And we found out in 2010 that things with the tumor we thought had been taken out, it hadn't been taken out, only a biopsy. Things had changed a little bit. And my neurologist out there said that it wasn't behaving itself. I don't like it wasn't behaving itself. That doesn't sound reassuring to me. But thank God we were in the right place at the right time. His timing is perfect, isn't it? Amen. And I don't know if you've heard of Roswell Park Cancer Institute, one of the top cancer hospitals in the United States. That's where we were. That's where our neurologists were working out of. You can't say it was a coincidence. It was a but God thing. And it was amazing going in, just having that peace that God was going to take care of it. And I remember going in, and I told my wife, it'll be all right. It's all right. And it was. And we had a hope. I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say it was flawless. I didn't say it went completely the way I would want it to. In fact, the doctors were a little concerned. I remember coming out of the anesthesia, coming out, and the doctors were kind of insistent on me opening my hand and moving my foot, my left side. That wasn't something that my body wanted to do. And I had my hand clenched straight up. My foot wasn't working right away. And for a pianist, having your hands not working, even if it was just one, becomes a little difficult. And this was a couple of years ago. I'm still working through that a little bit. And but God was gracious. Without a risen Lord, I wouldn't have a hope. Without a risen Lord, everything that I say, everything that I do would be worthless. It'd be like stepping out, thinking, I know none of you have ever done this, but thinking the floor was in a certain place. You get up in the middle of the night, you think the step, you had one more step, and you didn't. Or you think you were on the bottom step, and you're not. That would be like our life without hope. Our life without a risen Savior. We think we have something to stand on, but it wouldn't be there. The world, I don't know how the world makes it, going through certain tragedies, how they make it without that hope, without that hope. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Life is not meaningless. Life does have a value. We are not just cogs in this cosmic existence. We are meaningful to an almighty God who came, who died, who rose again. Every grave, if we didn't have that hope, every grave would be a place for despair. I drove past the Charleston church on the way to get here. And I looked over at the church, no reflection on the church, by the way, and I saw the cemetery around the church. And I thought, you know, I wonder if they have their mornings if they had a sunrise service and would have it out there. If it were any other church, I would have thought the same thing, not that it was just their church, but I thought that wouldn't be the place to have a sunrise service because those graves are all covered over. It would be just the opposite. The grave is open. Christ's grave is empty. You know, that wouldn't be in a graveyard. That wouldn't be the place to have a sunrise service, I don't think. And Christ isn't there anymore. He is risen. And we could think back to John chapter 14. Jesus promised his disciples, I go where? To prepare a place for you. If he couldn't keep his promise of rising again, I don't think he's going to keep his promise of building us a home in heaven, in eternity. We talked a little bit about heaven this morning, about where we would be. And if we did not have a Savior who rose, there would be no meeting of the loved ones either with her, the ones that have gone on before. The Apostle Paul talks about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where someday we will meet them. And not just our loved ones. We'll meet Christ face to face, won't we? He says all believers would be miserable. We would have believed a lie. You ever have that happen where you thought something was the truth and you found out that it wasn't? You followed somebody because you thought they had the truth, but they didn't? What kind of a despair does that bring about? If Christ hadn't risen, we'd be following a truth that wasn't. It would be baseless. But no, we have a hope. Christians, if there was no hope, Christians would have traded earthly gain for a dream. But there is substance. You think of Hebrews. I was thinking of this, Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about faith is in stuff. Hebrews 11, let's look at that quick. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is substance? Stuff. Something. Now faith is something that we hope for. And it goes down through that chapter and talks about all the different, what we call, heroes of the faith. What did they hope for? Coming Messiah? Coming Savior? They looked for someone. What do we hope for? A coming Messiah? A coming Savior? He came as a babe. He died. He rose again. But we still look for his return, don't we? He went, and the angel said, he will come again, right? As you have seen him go into heaven. So we look forward to a time that's yet to come, when Christ comes, when he comes back. Christ is risen. We know that. We know, because he's risen, that the gospel is powerful. The gospel is true. We know that because Christ is risen, we can have faith in Christ, that faith that brings about forgiveness and eternal life. We know that believers have a hope of eternal salvation, a hope of an eternal home. We know that life has meaning. And we know that Christ will return and reign forever. Question this morning is, does he reign in your heart and in mine? Does he reign in our lives? Do we really realize that hope that we have? Do we realize that promises that we have in God's word? And does it show up in our lives? We talked about submission this morning. And are we submissive? Have we submitted to that holy God, that risen Savior? Or are we submissive to ourselves and our desires? We have a Savior, Almighty Savior. We should be serving. We should be allowing to reign in our lives.